Church. So glad that you're here. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to have a great night in the presence of the Lord. Before we get started and worship the Lord together, why don't you go around and just shake someone's hand, a couple people's hand. Tell them it's good to see them here. And then we're going to sing about the breakthrough and have a great time of praise tonight. Hallelujah.
Salvation. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat of my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Hey! Oh, somebody praise the Lord. Omnipotent, almighty, defender, my victory, my refuge, the one I run. You are,
come on, say,
you are the God of the breakthrough.
Come on, everybody, let's declare it tonight. Hey,
breakthrough, you are the God of the breakthrough. When I can't see my way through, and I really don't know what to do, I look to you, breakthrough. Walls fall down when I shout through. Strongholds break. Salvation. When the wicked, my enemies and my foes came upon me to eat of my
bread. Come on, they stumbled and fell. Come on, we serve a God who has authority tonight. Shout.
Omnipotent, almighty,
defender,
my victory, my refuge, the one I run to. You are the God that
sometimes we come into church and our bodies don't feel ready to praise, but our spirit's always willing. And if we will just say to our body, I'm putting you to the side, and start connecting to our spirit, we will see that God will have a breakthrough ready for us. It's already here. Let's just reach out and grab it, church. Come on. We declare it like this. I sing breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul, breakthrough in my weakness, breakthrough in the struggle. You are the God. You are the God of the breakthrough in my worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough when I lift, glorify your name, breakthrough when I dance, breakthrough when I shout. You are the God. Come on, shout it out. Breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my mind, breakthrough in my spirit, breakthrough in my soul,
breakthrough in my
struggle.
Worship, breakthrough in my praise, breakthrough in a lift, glorify your name, breakthrough.
on me. Oh, believe on me, yeah. Scripture said, Scripture said, the word of God said, Scripture said.
Yeah!
There is a river whose streams make alive the city of our God. There is a river whose streams make alive the city of our God. So I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. Anybody happy tonight for that river? I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. Thank you, Lord. There is a fountain so full of grace, and it flows from Emmanuel's veins. There is a fountain so full of grace, and it flows from my Savior's veins. Oh,
He came and He healed me. He came and refreshed me. Oh, He came and washed my sin.
And it flows from Emmanuel's veins. There is a fountain so full of grace, and it flows from my Savior's veins.
Oh, you see, He came and He healed me, and He came and refreshed me. He came and washed my sin away.
Of the Lord is upon me, His anointing, it's empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me, and He's calling me to the heavenly, to be seen in heavenly places, just like heaven, just like heaven on earth. Yeah. Something's moving, something's changing. See His glory, feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. See His glory. Come on, get a hold of this tonight. Oh, something's moving, something's changing. See His glory, feel like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. See His glory. Oh, just like this. There is lightning and thunder, miracles and wonder, sound of many water. It's heaven on earth tonight. Hey, lightning and thunder, miracles and wonder. Oh, the sound of many water. Everything from a new point of view, to be seated with Jesus in heavenly places, and from His perspective everything is made. Oh, there is lightning and thunder, miracles and wonder, sound of many waters. There is lightning and thunder, miracles and wonder, sound of many waters. Hey.
Let's lift our voice. Let's lift our voice to the Lord right now and tell Him He's welcome in this meeting tonight. Would you? Just lift up your voice. You've sung powerfully tonight, but just lift up your voice. Holy Spirit, you're welcome to work in this place. It's not so much about Him working in this room. Would you ask the Holy Spirit to work in your heart, work in your mind, work in your life right now, all over, from right to all the way to the left, from the front row to the back row. Holy Spirit, tonight we are open, we are ready, we are hungry, we are needy, we must, we require, we desire an outpouring of your Spirit in us like never before. Remove lethargy, remove spiritual laziness, remove the excuses, remove the blockages and the strongholds, and Lord, let there be a release in us so that we can receive the release from heaven. And we thank you, thanks and expectancy in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say a good amen. I feel like God's going to do something great tonight. I said, I'm ready for God to do something I've never seen before. I said, I'm looking for God to do something He promised to us in His Word. I said, I don't think I'm going to leave the building different, the same as when I came in. Does anybody here else plan on leaving differently than the way you came in? That's unconvincing. Does anybody want to go out different than the way you came in a better way? Amen. In a better way. You know, some places you go in better than you go out. Have you ever been to? No, don't even answer that. But how many glad tonight that doesn't have to be the way it is for you? You're going to go out better than the way you came in. Amen. Turn around, shake hands. Take some fellowship time. Take about 45 seconds to a minute. Get around, shake hands with about 13 people and let them know you're so glad to see them. I love your choir. That was awesome. That's the best I've heard all year, really. Not as good as next week, but it's best, better than it's been all year. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. While they're shaking hands, let me just say thank you for joining us to the Facebook Live crowd or the live stream, I don't know which camera that's in, the light must be out, but we're glad that you're here. Ushers, if you would come, we're going to worship the Lord in our giving. We just like to get right to it. On Sunday morning, we get out all the fine china. Sunday night, we serve it on paper plates. We just get to it. Let me share a couple announcements while the ushers are on their way. Thank you so much. On June the 3rd, on June the 3rd is going to be a special prayer and communion service Sunday morning. I can't wait for that. And then on June the 4th, 5th, and 6th is a summer fast. Now, I know that if you're a calendar Nazi, you know that summer doesn't start that soon. Okay, tough crowd, I can tell already. The summer does not start, but we're going to prepare our hearts for the summer. And prepare our hearts. How many believe God? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, for every season there's a reason. There's something specific that God wants to do. And I believe he's done great work in our lives in the winter and in the spring. We're not done with that. But this summer, I just want God to bring a great peace and ease to your spirit this summer. And we do that by praying and fasting. And, you know, some people say, well, I fast television or I fast social media. If that TV or social media has that much hold on your life, you don't need to fast it. You need to be delivered from it. If social media has the same demand on your life as food does, you've got a serious, real issue. So get delivered from one and then put away the other. And you'll be better off in both ways. Amen. Even if you didn't pray, but adding prayer to that is really what makes that effective. And then on June the 10th, I believe, is our baccalaureate. That's for high school graduates, college graduates. It's going to be at 9:30 right here in the auditorium. It's going to be fantastic. Father's Day is on the 17th. We haven't talked about it, but we're actually going to have our first wiffle ball tournament that afternoon. Anthony Nealon, stand up, Anthony. Everybody loves Anthony. Anthony is going to, he's the general manager of our wiffle ball tournament. And so Epstein has given him some pointers, and he's going to start his own league. And we're going to have a great time on Father's Day. It's really going to be a great day. So isn't the Lord so good to us? Amen. Heavenly Father, we give these gifts today with thanksgiving and joy in our hearts. They are seeds that we sow. And God, we're not really, you said if we cast our bread on the waters, it will come back. So we're not really giving anything away. God, it's being stored up for us. You promise because you're good that you bring it back to us in a magnified way. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen and amen. God bless you tonight as you give. Boy, I love Sunday night. How about you? So excited. I guess that's a no-brainer because you're here. But I really want to get to the Word of God tonight. And I believe the Holy Spirit's got some things to say to us in a very... Very timely manner. So if you'd open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I thought that was so incredible this morning. People just getting saved without hardly an altar call. Do you know that's what the Holy Spirit is doing all over the earth? Amen. And I got the opportunity after service. This is so cool. You know, sometimes more happens when most of the people leave than when they're here. And the reason for that is sometimes you get later into the service, there's less desire to get the flesh satisfied. And sometimes you stay in a service long enough, people are just hungry for whatever God wants to get done. And so I personally have seen the last 15 minutes of a service accomplish more than the first hour and 15 minutes of it. And sometimes the reason for that is because people have finally got focused. And at the end of the altar service this morning, a young lady was standing down here, and her grandfather who comes here was just standing there. They're praying together. I introduced myself to her, and I could tell that she was hungry for the Lord. And I began to ask her, you know, have you ever given your heart to Christ formally? Have you ever made that decision, like a date and a place? No, not really. And so I said, well, let me try to explain the gospel. And I'm trying to find a way to communicate this to somebody that I think has no idea what's going on. And after I got done with saying that, I said, does that make any sense? She said, yes, I'm taking a major in theology at St. John's College. Well, she's a very patient girl. She didn't interrupt me an ounce. She just let me go on and struggle. And I said, oh, that's interesting. So where are you spiritually? She says, I now believe that science is not in opposition to God. Only God makes science make sense. I said, well, that adds up. Is there a little math there? And and so I began to talk to her about the things of God. And she says, you know, and what's so cool about it is she had no point of reference. Like, she just didn't know what to do next. How many know sometimes knowing what to do next all the time gets really boring? It's nice to be around people who don't know what to do next out of robotic operation. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I'm saved or not. She says, all I know is there comes a point in my life in the classroom that I finally reconciled there is a God. She said, I've had my belief right. What I haven't had is the experience. And she says, I stand in the altar today, and she says, I feel like I'm getting an experience with what I believe. Isn't that awesome? I'm getting the experience of what I believe. And so believing, you know, some people are so hung up on believing, but believing is what the demons do. It's receiving is where the power comes in. And I don't think that people are struggling with their believing as much. I think people are thirsty because they're not receiving as much. And if people can walk into this church, whether they have any idea about God or who God is or not, if they can sense in their spirit, I've met people who have no relationship with God that have a greater sensitivity to the move of the Spirit than some people who've been in it for decades. Hello, I can give an altar call, and that girl came to the altar hungry for the Holy Spirit, and at the same time, people sat in their seats that have been here for decades. What's the difference? The difference is they've understood that it's not just something in their head. Something in their spirit is stirring. And how many want God to just stir something in the spirit of this church like a volcano until it erupts? I'll suggest to you tonight that happens only in a place that makes prayer a priority. And that's why Paul said, if I pray, 1 Corinthians 14, you didn't think I was preaching. I was preaching. You didn't know it. If I pray, you realize that there are a lot of religions in the world that have picked up on prayer. I want to say something to you that just kind of dawned on me this afternoon. There is power in prayer even when you're not talking to Jesus. Let me prove that there's power in prayer for people who don't even believe in Jesus. Buddhist, pray all the time and have more peace than many Christians that you know. There is power in prayer. There's just no power in the one whom they're praying to. Muslims have the world by the collar. And they pray three times a day. While you struggle to get church people to go to church twice in one day. And tithing is still an argument, and it's too hard to worship. And yet Muslims are ruling the world. Why? Because they pray. There's power in their prayer. There's just no power in the one whom they pray to. Because Muhammad is still dead. That fat Buddha is still in a great big old casket. There is power in prayer, friends, but if we could just combine the power of prayer and connect it to the only living God, how many believe we could see a whole lot more get accomplished? Aren't you glad you weren't raised to believe that foolishness? But you're raised to believe in the one true God. And Paul said, if people pray, it's hard to align Christians in their courage because we've abandoned prayer to serve the highest God. How many believe that there's no God but our God? Then to have a casual prayer life has got to be offensive to God. It has got to be difficult for God to stomach people who will sing one thing and then be casual about their prayer life. How many, now, can you feel the guilt? Praise God. Aren't you glad you came out Sunday night? You could be swatting mosquitoes out in some field cooking a burger right now. But the Bible says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, then I will do some things. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to encourage you. Let's get back to prayer so that God can get back to work. Look what he says. Next, go to the next slide. For if I pray in a tongue. Now, don't worry. I've got 400 of these scriptures, word by word, I'm going to preach tonight. So that was just a joke. If I pray in a tongue, I talked to you about that this morning, different languages, then if I pray in a tongue, how many know that a tongue is not jibber jabber? Hello? It's not stuttering. It is a language. It is not unheard of, or it's not hard to imagine that there's a language that they speak in heaven. It's the language that the angels speak. When we get to heaven, who will interpret the language? Nobody will need to. There'll be one language in heaven to speak. And the Bible says that God has given to his believers a language of heaven, not that we speak to each other in. I think we have to be very careful and clear about accuracy on tongues. The Bible says that God has given us a language, but it's not a language we speak to each other. It's a language we speak to God. And so when somebody says, oh, that tongues, that doesn't make sense. Well, I'm not talking to you. Then the next time, sometimes you got to be rude. Sometimes when people walk up, oh, that doesn't make sense. Oh, that's fine. I didn't ask you to understand it because I wasn't talking to you. Was I talking to you? No, I wasn't talking to you. So mind your own business. Imagine if I'm talking to Darcy and some dude comes up. Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, come here so I can throw punch you. Does that make sense? Now butt out of my business. Who is anybody to tell the child of God how they talk to their father? Okay? For if I pray in a tongue, glossolalia, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive because it does not understand what my spirit is praying. This is the Amplified translation. Paul says there's a powerful gift that comes to those who pray. Paul is not saying that you should not pray with your understanding. Paul is saying you should not be limited to only praying in your understanding. He's saying there's two levels or dimensions of prayer. And Paul is basically teaching there is room and need for the both dimensions, to pray in your native language and to pray in a heavenly language. Why? Because if you only pray what you understand, you will always live frustrated. Come on, folks. If you could get your prayer life right, your whole life will change. If you can learn how to pray with your understanding, because there are some things that you understand. We pray about those things. But how many of you have had a few things that you don't understand? And oftentimes, the key to going forward in anything in life is knowing what you don't currently know so that you can succeed in where you're going. And oftentimes, when we pray the language of heaven, we are praying the will of God. And there are some things that will not happen until we've prayed them into existence. But when I understand that the Holy Spirit can help me when I don't know what to do, and He prays through me what He wants to do, then I have put myself in a position to win in an area I don't know yet about. Are you all okay with that? We've got to begin to exercise both. If I only pray with my understanding, my peace will always be under attack. So you've got this dilemma, you've got this decision, you've got this surprise, you've got this crisis, and if the only way you pray is using your English grammar to try to diagnose it, and even though you don't answer, you're just frustrated, and it ends up your prayer time is a depressing time. How many of you prayed yourself right into defeat? You get alone and you stop talking to God, you just started singing gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You picked a fine time to leave me. Three heathens are in the church tonight. Lucille. Have you ever gone to prayer time and felt worse after? Why? Because you are limited to praying what you understand. But I got good news for every person who's been bought by the blood of Jesus. God has promised us an ability to give us prayer that when we don't know how to pray, we begin to pray a successful will of God. Hello? You good with that? Okay, all right, all right. Let me just move on. Then he says, not only will I pray in the Spirit, will I pray with my understanding. He says, I will sing with the Spirit. Verse 16 or 15. I will sing with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within me. I will sing with my mind. What's he saying? I will sing words like we did tonight. And then he says, I will sing songs of the Spirit. Isn't it a good thing that he says you don't have to be in key for God to hear it? Turn to your neighbor and say, you ought to be grateful for that. I heard you tonight. You sing in the key of H. Please hear what I'm going to tell you. And I think that we've become a little bit too cool for school. When I pray in my understanding and then I get limited, then I move over and I begin to pray in the Spirit. What happens is when I pray in the Spirit, my mind and my mouth are engaged, but as I sing in the Spirit, it brings strength to my faith. I think there are some times that when you pray and have your devotions, you just need to get into a quiet place where you don't care if anybody hears you, and you pray in English, you pray in your heavenly language, and then you begin to pray and sing in the Spirit. I don't know if you do this, but I grew up hearing people sing in the Holy Spirit. They were not orchestrated songs. You could put the words on the screen, but nobody would know one thing. This is so, okay. Does anybody, just so that the new people can know that I'm not preaching false doctrine, how many have ever done that? How many have ever prayed in the Spirit and then the Holy Spirit come on and you just begin to, it's a melody. It's a melody. Sure, most of you have done that. Most of you have done that. And you may think, well, I'm just, you know, trying to stay awake or I'm just trying to be spiritual. But the confession is for your mind. The song is for your heart. Don't take for granted the worship that happens in this place. Choir, that was the best this year, but not as good as next week. When you get home alone, it seems like people are one or the other. That's all they do is sing, or all they do is pray. But if you can ever put the two together, if you can ever get your prayer in English right, if you can ever get your prayer in a heavenly language right, and then you begin to sing songs that God begins to give to you, it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to be in the right key or the amount of bars or the right timing. But what's happening is the Holy Spirit is telling your soul, be encouraged, be uplifted, rejoice, be happy, be at peace, because the God who prayed through you is the God that answers your prayer tonight. Amen. Nothing wrong driving the tractor and humming a song. We're using a nail gun, humming a song. Typing on the typewriter, humming a song. Are you hearing me? Are you all right with that? You probably in the bathroom, you should keep it down a little bit. Some of you think you're kind of weird, but everywhere else. How many make a commitment this week? As the Holy Spirit comes on me, I'm just going to hum a song. I'm just going to hum. I mean, everybody can hum. Well, I think so. All right, let's go to Jude. Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude. And I'm going to tell you kind of what the Lord has put upon my heart for about 15 minutes. And then we'll just move into this, okay? Jude, are you there? If you're not, it's on the screen. Jude writes, well, let me just back up a second. Did you all get that point this morning about tongues is the language of a new species? Jesus said, I'm creating with you a new covenant. At the Last Supper, he said, I'm cutting a new covenant with you. I'm creating a new species of people. And every species has a language. And so it only makes sense that if God has made you a new creation, that you should have a new language. It only makes sense, okay? And so in that new language, there's power. Now watch what Jude says about praying in the Spirit. They used to say to you, in the last days, there will be scoffers following after their own ungodly passions. When you have praying in the Spirit daily involved in your life, you take the leadership out of the hands of your flesh and you put leadership into the hands of the Holy Spirit. I have been in most of the trouble of my life was when I put the leadership of my life in the hands of my flesh. But I have never been in trouble when I put the leadership of my life in the hands of the Holy Spirit. We say, well, what's sin and what's not sin? I'll tell you what will lead to sin when your flesh rules your life. I'll tell you what leads to victory when the Holy Spirit leads your life. And so the passions of a Christian should be different than the passions of a non-Christian. And how do we get that? By getting alone and praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay? We get that? In the flesh. If the flesh manifests, you know what the Holy Ghost comes in and does? He knocks it out. How many have ever copped an attitude? 7, 8, 9, 11. I'm fighting one right now. Church of Liars, Charleston Lion Church. Let's change the name. How many of you have ever copped an attitude? For those of you who don't raise your hand, you're my target. I could get one out of you before it's over. I promise you that. Look, sitting down saying, oh, I'm such a terrible person. I'm lousy. All my family's done this. Oh, I'm a bad person. Beat your chest. And put, oh, it's just terrible. No, just shut up. Get down on your knees and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will come in and he will drop kick your flesh and say, you're not the leader of this. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit and this is where victory belongs. No, it's not 15 books to read and, you know, go out and serve. It's just, wow, it's hot in here. Verse 19. These are the ones who are agitators, causing divisions, worldly minded, secular, unspiritual, carnal, talk about turning the screw, merely sensual, unsaved, devoid of the Spirit. That Amplified's pretty wordy. It's pretty sure that somebody's wife wrote that. I mean, very, very wordy. Look what he says again. Of people who don't pray in the Spirit, watch, the ones who are agitators. How many understand? When the Spirit of God is in control, there's unity in the home, unity in the family, unity in the church. But when a church fails to pray in the Spirit, then agitators begin. What do? They agitate. Thank you. That's right. It's an open book test. They agitate. The word agitate is somebody who will not come out and say it, but they will just egg it on. How many of you have met an agitator? They don't come out and say it, they just egg you on. Right? They won't say it in front of anybody, but they'll type it on Facebook. They're agitators. They're not really coming out and saying anything because they don't have the guts, but they just, so it's just veiled, agitating. Hello. This is a worldly mindset. Verse 20. Oh no, verse 19. No, verse 20. But you. Come on, somebody say, but you. Somebody shout, but you. We are not led by our flesh, and we are not agitators because we are different. How many of you are tired of Christians being the same as non-Christians? The world is not won for a lack of us looking like the world. The world is not won because we don't have something better than the world. When they come out with a better car, people buy it. When they come out with a better television, people buy it. I saw a TV the other day that when you turn it off, it blends in with your wall. Why? But it's a better thing. They're just saving it. When your phone comes out with one more thing, you'll spend $800 and sign a 10-year contract. Because the world is always wanting something better. You know what I think when they come to the church, they ought to find in the church? Better marriages, better parents, better kids, better function. Come on, somebody. Better peace of mind. In the church ought to be something better. But you. I didn't get saved to be a miserable religious on myself. I got saved because I was told something better comes with a relationship with Christ. But you. I could preach those two words all night long if I wanted to. But you, beloved, you're not agitators. Your passions don't control you. Discouragement, depression, anxiety, fear, they do not rule you. You are different. The constant battle for us is to be pulled back into our flesh. But when we begin to pray in the Spirit, but you, we become different. Beloved, this is how. Build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith. Continually progress. You know what? Tonight's service is great, but I think next Sunday night ought to be greater. I think 2 weeks ought to be greater. 3 weeks ought to be greater. Next year ought to be greater. 10 years, if Jesus tarries, every day should get better. That's what he said. Continually progress, rise like an edifice higher. How? By praying in the Spirit. This is promised for us, but you, connects you, Build yourself up on the foundation of faith. Verse 21. What happens when we pray in the Spirit? Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously and looking forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring you to eternal life. You know what he'll bring you to? A place of no moodiness. Hello, how many of you ever know anybody that's moody? Oh, how many of you ever been moody? Is right here, okay. Right. Anybody else ever been moody? You got moody blues? I see some girls raising their hands. Been moody? Pray in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus. I'm preaching the word. How many know the word? There's a word for every season. There's a word for every week. Hallelujah. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just praise God anyhow. Keep yourselves not in the anger of God, the fear of God. Don't keep yourself in the getting even of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost and be mad. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost and be in lust. You can't pray in the Holy Ghost. If any of these fleshly things are manifesting, it's just simply a sign to you, you're not praying in the Holy Spirit. Anxiously waiting. When you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, you begin to get excited about the future. You begin to get excited about the tomorrows. Verse 22, come on, musicians. Have mercy on some who are doubting. When you begin to pray in the Spirit, you begin to look at people differently. I can look at my wife, this hardly ever happens, and we could be having a disagreement. And if I will not pray, I will just assume everything on face value and be irritable. But listen to me, husbands. But if I will stop before... And how many know your mouth can get you in a whole lot of bondage? Your mouth, you get hung by your tongue. If I will take time and I will pray in the Holy Ghost before I respond. How many have ever wanted to take those words as they left the pearly gates of your mouth and say, come back here? If I can pray in the Holy Ghost before I say something sharp, the Holy Ghost can begin to say to me, you know, these are the things that are going on in her life. And if you'll take time to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will begin. And then when that begins to happen, I begin to look at her differently. And I begin to see, hey, wait a minute. If I was dealing with what she's dealing with, I may respond the same way as well. I'm not saying she was ever wrong. But if I perceived it to be wrong, then what happens is I don't start criticizing her. I start having mercy for her because there could be a time that I got some stuff going on that gets to me and I don't respond the way I want to respond. And I'm hoping that the mercy I gave her, and she does, is the mercy that she gives to me. Yeah, I know you didn't expect to hear that tonight. Having mercy on some who are doubting. Look what he finishes up with. Verse 23, save others, snatching them out of the fire. Snatching, snatching. Somebody say snatching. Some walk out, some come out, but some are snatched out. And on some have mercy, but with fear, loathing the clothing spotted and polluted by their shameless, shameless, immoral freedom. What's he saying? When you don't pray in the Spirit, you pretty much have red lights and green lights in life. Okay? Don't do that. Go ahead and do this. You got a green light. You got a green light. You know, you got an opportunity to help somebody. There's the green light. Okay? You have an opportunity to rob somebody. There's a red light. How many know those are simple things? But sometimes temptation doesn't need a red light or a green light. Sometimes it needs a yellow light. Where something looks good on the outside, But all of a sudden, you begin to get a check in your spirit. Wait a minute. There's something behind that that will trap me if I get involved with that. I know this is kind of taking a bit of a turn, but what we're really talking about, the fact is, you can't live a holy life if you don't pray in the Holy Ghost. That's the whole point. If you try to live the holy life in your own self and in your own strength and in your own goodness, then you will find yourself frustrated, falling into the same pit over and over again. I've got good news for you. God's not hollering at you in the pit saying, you're lousy. God is giving you a tool in the pit. It's the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. You can pray your way right up out of that thing. Verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling into sin, and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless in the presence of his glory with triumphant joy and unspeakable delight. Come here, Bill. What he's saying, you're going to be the Holy Ghost. How do you like that? You like it. It's better than others. Things I could use you for. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Now you feeling good?
No, not really, but go ahead.
How's your back? It's
broken.
Oh, go sit down. Seriously, go sit down. I don't want to get hurt tonight, and I don't want to hurt you. All right, Josh, come on, bud. You're looking at me like a lab and wants to get pet. All right, man. And I like that shirt. How you feeling?
I'm good.
Is your back broken?
No.
Not yet. All right. Thanks for your honesty, Bill. It's your neck. Well, that's close enough. I don't want to finish the job. All right. I want to use your Mustang, so I don't want to hurt you. I might hurt your Mustang, but I don't want to hurt you. And when I walk in life, if I'm not right where I ought to be, how many know you can stumble? How many of you have fallen into a sin? It wasn't an ambush. You walked into it. You walked into an attitude. You walked into a bad habit. You walked into something that your flesh loves, but it kills you. You love what hurts you. And you find yourself repeatedly stumbling and falling into it. But the Bible says, are you ready? That the Holy Spirit... We're going to test it. Push. You struggled an awful lot there, Josh. Take a step back. I don't like you growling like that. You're making me awful nervous. It's okay, though. I mean, give it everything you got. Take another step back. In the name of Jesus. If he walks away, let me know. Whoa. You're like, I can hear his feet, so I don't know where he's going. I don't know if he's going back. He's attacking me now. Yeah. Wham! You need to pray in the Spirit because you can't trust your flesh. I don't trust me. Oh, I can handle it. Why do you want to find out? Don't go in that place with that woman. Don't go in that place with that man. Oh, I can handle it. Why would you want to find out? There are places and people I won't talk to privately or publicly. Well, what are you afraid you'll do? You don't think you can handle it? I don't plan on finding out. I think Christians are living so close to sin because they don't realize the toxicity and how great the fall they have. But if I can pray, no, are you looking? If I pray, okay, that's enough. They get it. Jesus, help me. You've done good, Josh. Thank you, buddy. We didn't practice. Next time. Wow, that was a close one. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm telling you tonight, not one of you has to fall to sin. Not one of you has to stumble. Not one of you has to worry about your future. Well, everybody falls. Yeah, people who don't lean on the Holy Spirit. Well, everybody sins. Don't tell anybody that. Don't reveal that you've compromised. Get up and say, as long as I'm in the strength of the Holy Spirit, I can't sin. I don't want to sin. I don't look for sin. I run from sin. As long as I'm in that place of prayer, how many are glad tonight? There's standing power in the Holy Ghost. Would you stand together with me tonight? Let's lift our hands and let's thank God that He's given us standing power in the Spirit of God. Would you please? I don't care if you're 15 or 85. We all need something in us to stand up when our flesh wants to sit down. We all need something in us that makes us want to go when our flesh wants to quit. We all need something in us that makes us want to give when our flesh says we want to take. Oh, Holy Spirit, strengthen the people of God tonight. Strengthen the people in this place tonight. Oh, God, their people are tired in their flesh. They're weary from temptation and falling and stumbling, and they get up, but they fall down. But God, and they almost just get disappointed and say, what's the sense? But in the name of Jesus tonight, we believe and agree that there's total victory for people who will pray and will pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Some are saying amen. This really is a message that you don't shout much during it, but you shout when you apply it. And so I'm going to ask you, I love commitments. And I'm going to ask every person that wants to make a fresh, the altar is the place of commitment. And you say, I'm going to make a commitment that I'm going to develop a prayer life. And I'm going to pray in the language God gives me. And I'm going to sing, I'm going to worship. And I'm going to make sure that on a daily basis, my flesh is not getting me in trouble, but my spirit is getting me into blessings. Out of trouble, into blessings. Out of defeat, into victory. Every person that says, I want to make that public commitment, I'm not ashamed, make your way to this altar. Just stand across this altar, and we're going to close in a prayer of commitment to God tonight. We devote ourselves to you. We give ourselves. I'm tired of Buddhists and Muslims out praying to Christians. It ought not be. Begin to get in a place here and just begin to say, Lord, I recommit to you. I recommit to become a man of prayer, a woman of prayer. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, that we would take all. Come right in close. Come right in close. Every need to the Lord in prayer. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Sing this. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Bless me now. Yes, Lord. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now.
Bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need every hour.
I come to you.
Let's lift our hands and begin to thank God. Praise is such a major part of your prayer life. Begin to praise God. Now, just begin to thank God for access through Jesus Christ. I feel the Holy Spirit. You'll always have the Holy Spirit when you have a prayer life, but you'll always live in frustration if you don't. But God's giving it back to somebody. Somebody's getting their prayer life back. Somebody's getting victory back in their private life. Amen. When your private life is in victory, your public life will soon follow. Hallelujah. Come on, thank God. You're going to win in the private time. You're going to win in your thought life. You're going to win when you're alone. And when you win when you're alone, you're going to be destined to win when you're in public. Come on, begin to thank God. The devil's got to flee. The enemy's got to be defeated. And Jesus is glorified when people pray. Pray in power. Pray with passion. Pray with faith. Pray on the word of God. Pray until the enemy runs. Pray until sickness leaves your body. Pray until victory is there and the Holy Ghost gifts begin to get stirred again. But don't stop praying. Pray until there's a breakthrough. Come on, let there be power in it tonight. Authority in my prayer. Authority in my declaration. Authority in my decree tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, come on, rejoice. Declare today you're in the victory position. Declare your family will be saved. Every broken piece will be mended in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on. I'm just singing some of these old songs to activate some of your faith. These are like devotion songs. I love all music, but these are devotion songs. There is power in prayer, power to spare all you ever need
is waiting.
Get your faith back.
Right there.
Get your joy back.
Just a few.
Get your confidence back.
Child's
the enemy has attacked everything around your life, but he will not have that prayer. Hallelujah.
There's power. So much power. There's power.
The enemy can try to have access to every area, but you keep that one. He'll be defeated in the name of Jesus. There is power. My Lord, there is no other one who can calm the storms of life like my Lord. He gives rest to the weary, gives new life to the hopeless. There's no doubt about it. He's my Lord. Do you want to lift your hands and sing it?
He's my Lord. He's my Lord. Jesus risen from the dead. And he's my Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Never failed me yet.
Jesus' love has never failed me yet.
Wheresoever I go, there's something I know.
Jesus' love has never failed.
Anybody testify to that tonight? Come on, is anybody glad for that tonight? Come on, sing that again.
He's never failed. Jesus' blood has never failed me yet. Wheresoever I go, there's just faith I know. Jesus' blood has never failed.
Come to you tonight, and we put a tremendous value on the private place, the prayer place. We will not tolerate any private defeat. We will expect only private victory that will require public victory in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you say to somebody what you've seen them do in private, you will reward them publicly. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank you that every time we get together with you alone, we're sowing seeds in the shadows so that we can reap a harvest in the sunshine. I thank you, Lord, what nobody sees, you recognize and keep account of, so that you will bless us in a way that everybody sees. Hallelujah. God, I thank you that as we protect that time, daily time with you, praying in the Spirit, praying with understanding, singing in the Spirit, the enemy finds no entry into any of our lives. In Jesus' name, if you thank God for victory, let's give the Lord a rounding shout of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Well, praise the Lord. The presence of the Lord is here tonight. Don't walk away from the prayer life. This power. You, if you're weary and you're wore out, you got to go back to that prayer closet. How many of you have a place that you like to pray? Just raise your hand. You've got a designated place. If you do not, that's awesome. Protect it. If you do not, now it shouldn't be in front of a TV. I know you pray all the news hour, but it shouldn't be in front of a television. It should be somewhere. That you know, there's something really neat about saying, that's my sacred spot. I have a few of them. That's my sacred spot. And there's just something, you know what happens for me? Now, we're all wired differently. This is not a doctrine. But for me, Keith, when I go to that sacred spot, something happens to me. Like I realize that's not the spot I return phone calls in. One of those spots is in one of your fields, which when I hunt turkeys. You have any turkeys over there? Can I come hunt some? Okay. Well, what were you going to say in front of all the saints of God? No? So if anybody else is over there, I'm shooting them. That's not my prayer place, though. What's that? Skid steer. Okay, I'll come get it. But something happens in Matt Ward when I go to that. I've got a couple spots. When I go there, I just change. It's like my focus is on the God and everything else is gone. And I would suggest that you get that. Protect that with all of your life. And when you do, you'll hear God in such a beautiful way. Lord, I pray your blessing on the week. We thank you for victory that comes from the private place and is manifest in the public place. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen.